Begin PodFix Network transmission in 3, 2, 1.
Tom Wopat charged with sticking finger in woman's butt crack. What? What? Is this Howard Stern?
Let's do this.
Welcome, everyone, to the Gravity Beard Podcast. We're recording today in Studio A. Thank you, as always, to our listeners. We appreciate your continued support. Today, Greg, Ivan, and Tom are back to finish our first installment of Where Are They Now? We've got three more profiles of people who once played a prominent role in pop culture, but now are no longer in the spotlight. Let's get started. This is the Gravity Beard Podcast. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Welcome back to the show.
Yes.
Buenos dias.
Good morning.
Welcome back.
We are joined once again by Greg and Tom and Ivan. Okay, so we won't go nearly as long with the other subjects on our show today. But our next one, I've got a clip I'd like to also use to introduce him.
She's also been grousing about the night I sleep punched her, and there's plenty more. Oh, and while you're knocking around in there, get her to love the films of Emilio Estevez. How great is that guy? He's a sheen, he's from an acting dynasty, yet he chooses to be Mexican. Makes it huge, realizes people have had enough of him, and is decent enough to fall off the face of the earth.
So, our next subject is American actor, director, and writer Emilio Estevez. He started his career as an actor and is well known for being a member of the acting Rat Pack of the 1980s. Yes. I turn things over to you, Greg.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us about Emilio Estevez.
Well, Emilio Estevez, obviously born into a very famous family.
Very famous.
Yes. His father, Tom, you might happen to know him, although you might not.
I know everything about
Emilio. Do you know
Emilio?
Martin Sheen?
I know Martin Sheen.
You do?
Yep.
You know Charlie. I know that.
I do know Charlie Sheen.
Where do you
big
know,
fan.
Where do you know Martin from?
From being Emilio and Charlie's dad.
Okay, have you totally blown this whole thing?
Who is Martin Sheen?
Maybe you should just let Greg tell us who Emilio Estevez is.
Have you ever heard of a TV show called West Wing?
Yes.
Yes.
He played the president.
I didn't expect us to get hung up for 3 minutes on who Martin Sheen
well,
is.
Well, he because introduced that's it part... to me, and I just
jumped.
I took it and fell on my face.
He's face planted so, over Martin
no, that,
Sheen.
That's very
Martin
integral.
Sheen changed his name, right? Because he wanted to be less ethnic of a last name, so he
Correct.
Changed his name
Correct.
To Martin Sheen. Charlie took the last name Sheen, so Martin had Emilio and Charlie. Charlie decided to take his father's name. Emilio took
the
family name. Huh. And he apparently he didn't want to follow in his father's footsteps per se or ride his coattails.
God, he didn't want to be
way.
Martin Sheen's son.
Right, right.
Right.
He wanted to be his own person.
Very
but he and it also I read he liked the initials EE because it looked pretty.
I did not read that note.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Now, so growing up, obviously, I think the thing that initially made him, I think they lived, when they were younger too, they lived a life that was like, you know, party hard and
well, he was the youngest of the children, or I'm sorry, he was the oldest of the children in his family.
Right. Emilio was the oldest?
Yes.
Yes. And so they start out in New York. Before
Staten Island, New York is where he's born.
Yeah, before Martin Sheen became famous, but
after
he became Martin Sheen kind of caught on.
Right,
they moved to Manhattan. He started going to private school,
yep.
And then he got enough roles that they ended up moving out to Malibu, California.
Right,
which is interesting. I'll add this here if that's okay. So when he was 11 years old, his father bought the family a portable movie camera. And Estevez.
Yes, with his friends, right?
That's right. Yeah. So Estevez, and related to that, Estevez and his brother Charlie and their high school friends who were Sean Penn,
Listen
Chris Penn, Chad Lowe, and Rob Lowe.
Really?
Yeah.
Childhood friends used the camera to make short films.
How unbelievable is that?
Wouldn't you love to see...
Just childhood friends.
Wouldn't you love to see these short films that
yeah.
they made?
Wow.
Yeah.
So that would certainly be interesting. And so then,
but when they moved out, here's the question: when they moved to California, yeah. Martin Sheen wasn't real well known at that time, right?
No, he was. He was. He'd gotten his break, so they moved from Staten Island into Manhattan.
When they were born, he wasn't real well known. Then he became well known later on. Yeah. So he ended up. One thing I read too, but like they were kind of party, you know, even at young age.
They
were party. You know, they grew up with everything they could want, and apparently, Emilio, they said, lost his virginity at the age of 14 in the Philippines when his dad was doing a movie out there.
Are you talking about Apocalypse Now?
Apocalypse Now.
Francis Ford Coppola.
That's right.
I can't hear Ivan say it.
Yeah.
Apocalypse Now. Apocalypse Now.
Nailed it. Yeah. Apocalypse. That worked out as well.
Yeah.
As I could have hoped.
So he was in the Philippines while they were filming.
Yeah. Wow. And he apparently lost virginity there at the age of 14, and his brother lost his virginity at the age of 15 to a prostitute.
Hi-oh.
So they were kind of party. They liked to party. He ended up. Obviously, I think his big break, I think we all agree, is probably The Outsiders, right?
Yeah, and that's where the Rat Pack really, got started, 1982 in The Outsiders. Yeah, they all played based on the book The Greasers.
Right, and that was a big movie. Have you ever seen that, Tom?
I haven't. Was that pre-Mighty Ducks?
That's a big-time movie.
Yeah. Pre-Coach Bombay.
What?
Pre-Mighty Ducks?
Yeah, by 10 years.
Yeah. Just to give you an idea of the people in that movie.
It's great to be young.
Just to give you an idea of the people in that movie, Tom, we're going to give that to you here. Hold on a minute. The Outsiders. Okay. Here we go. You ready for this, Tom?
Hit me.
All right.
I'll bet he hasn't heard of two-thirds of these people.
I bet you he's heard of a lot of them.
Nope.
I need to add to my list.
First one was Pony Boy. I don't think he knows, which...
See Thomas Howell?
Is that
right.
His, okay.
Do you know him?
I was like, was that his God-given name, Pony, last name boy?
No, that was his character name.
See Thomas Howell?
See Thomas. See period.
I don't know Thomas
Howell. Okay, I know he knows this person. Matt Dillon?
I do know Matt Dillon.
Okay, I know you know this
Not to be confused with Kevin Dillon.
Right. Correct, which you did
Or Marshall Dillon.
That's right.
Gunsmoke.
I know you know this person, Ralph Macchio?
I do know Ralph.
Yeah. Patrick Swayze?
And Patrick.
Okay. Rob Lowe?
And Rob.
Okay.
We're all on first name basis.
Emilio Estevez?
Emilio.
All right. Tom Cruise?
Really?
Yeah.
I do know Tom.
Okay. Diane Lane?
I do know Diane Lane.
Okay. So I think that's
at least two-thirds, right? How many people are in this movie?
That's the majority of the main characters.
And this was the precursor to Brat Pack, right?
I mean, a lot of people say that this was kind of where we'll get to the Brat Pack in just
a lot
minute,
of people
but
say
a lot
that
of people in the Brat Pack appeared in this film.
Right.
Yeah. And a lot of people, though, say that it's a combination of kind of two movies that really did it, and it wasn't really this one. It was a couple that came later. So then he was in Repo Man, which was a good movie in itself. Then one of my favorite movies of all time growing up was Breakfast Club.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I do like Breakfast Club.
Yeah,
I
mean, no question.
There's a lot of cussing in that movie, but it is such a well-made movie because you really get the feeling all these different people came together and then friended each other while they were in suspension,
right?
And they shared stories and all these things
well
that happened
written,
to them.
Well acted.
Very well done.
Well, it was a John Hughes film.
Yep.
Who was the king of,
John
80s,
Hughes,
of 80s, you know, teen movies.
Correct.
Yeah.
And
but that was a seminal movie. I mean,
correct.
It was
no
true.
Question. Right. No question about
and
it.
And so a lot of people say Brat Pack was a combination of that movie and then St. Elmo's Fire.
Right.
So a strict definition of the Brat Pack, Fire. Although other actors were attributed to being members of the Brat Pack, a strict definition is you had to appear in one of those two films.
Yeah.
In either St. Elmo's Fire
or Breakfast Club.
The people they say are included in the Brat Pack are obviously Emilio, Anthony Michael Hall, Rob Lowe, Andrew McCarthy, Demi Moore, Judd Nelson, Molly Ringwald, and Ally Sheedy.
And actually, Andrew MacArthur McCarthy has come out and said, I don't acknowledge that. I was never a member.
Right.
Of it. But he was.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So,
which is a pretty well-known list.
Right. Oh, yeah. Back in the 80s, these people were all big time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that was the A-list, right?
Yeah.
That was the young up-and-coming A-list actors in the 80s.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
For sure.
Why would you not want to be in the Brat Pack?
Something he said today about it, and you don't like to be labeled.
Just
or
just being a jerk.
Kind of.
So,
did you know that Emilio Estevez was credited as being the leader of the Brat Pack?
Yeah. Yeah.
I never heard that before.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Really? Mm. Wow.
I can relate to that.
Now, what's interesting, too, is that he was once engaged to someone in the Brat Pack, too.
That's correct.
Do you know who that is?
My guess would be Demi Moore.
Rob Lowe.
Tom, you're wrong.
It's 2017.
Ivan, you're correct.
Okay.
Yes, he was once engaged to Demi Moore.
That's correct.
Now, he did, when he was younger, he was dating someone and had two children with her.
Oh.
Then he got married to Paula Abdul.
Really?
That,
I don't remember that.
He married her for 2 years. She credited the breakup with the fact that she wanted children and he didn't because he already had children. And ended up breaking up after 2 years. And then he ended up getting engaged to Demi Moore later on down the road.
Huh.
So, obviously, he's been in quite a few movies even after that. He was in a movie called Maximum Overdrive in 86. That was a Stephen King movie, I believe, at the time.
I recognize the title, but don't remember that at all.
Yeah, I recognize
it. Now, then it got pretty big later with Young Guns.
Oh, yes.
Obviously.
That was another almost Brat Pack-ish kind of
group. Exactly right. It was Emilio, Kiefer Sutherland, Lou Diamond Phillips, Charlie Sheen, his brother was in it.
Yeah, I mean,
Dermot Mulroney.
Yeah,
he was pretty famous back in the day. There were quite a few. So that movie was big back in the day. Then
Did he direct that movie?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think
he was a director? He did direct movies. One of my favorite movies was Men at Work. I don't know if you guys haven't seen Men at Work.
I just can't remember.
He and his brother both were in that as well.
Yeah, they co-starred.
They were the main characters in the movie, and it is a really funny, good movie. It's a good time.
Do you want to play that scene?
Which one? Oh yeah.
Let's play the scene from Men at Work.
So to set it up. They have their two guys who work in on a trash truck.
Right.
They're trash collectors.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
And they're having a guy that has come in, and is he evaluating them or something like that?
I believe. So.
Yeah. So he's evaluating them, and he has to be a part of their, he's riding along with them, evaluating everything. And so they go into a diner to have lunch, and then this happens.
That's where this occurs.
I still owe one to the intended receiver.
You know, man, you were a total pain in the ass.
Now, James, Lewis is going to be with us for the next couple of weeks. Accept this as fact. And one of you guys shake hands and stop behaving like children.
Emilio reaches for the guy's fries.
In the back of your neck. There are several sacred things in this world that you don't ever mess with. One of them happens to be another man's fries. Now you remember that, and you'll live a long and healthy life.
He just cracked his hand.
It broke
by
it?
By squeezing it. No. And Emilio dropped the flop fries and just looked at him.
Yeah, right.
So Emilio goes and reaches across the table for the guy's French fries, and he grabs his hand real quick, and then he stares him in the eye. And you see Emilio Estevez's like glass blue eyes just stare in fear for like 10 or 15 seconds, and then he cranks down on his hand, and that's where you hear the crackle, and then he drops the fries.
Yeah, that's funny. So... obviously, he went from that to Mighty Ducks, and that was like a big family movie. Huge. That was huge back in the day. Then he did a movie called Free Jack, which I kind of liked.
I liked. Yeah. I remember liking
Free
Jack. I don't
remember.
Yeah. And then Loaded Weapon, which was kind of like one of the, you know, that just...
It was a parody movie.
Yeah. It was like an airplane or a... what's the one with Leslie Nielsen?
Naked Gun.
It's kind of like that type of movie.
Right.
And then he did...
Starring O.J. Simpson.
Right. And then he did... What was the other one that he did that was big? He did... Oh, one of my favorites. Another famous... He actually did it before Young Guns. I love this movie. And if you haven't seen it, Tom, you need to go see it.
Okay.
It's called Stakeout.
Oh, yeah.
With Richard Dreyfuss.
Yes. Such a great movie.
Yes.
And the female co-star in this movie was, I completely forgot.
Who?
She was...
Madeline Stowe.
Madeline Stowe,
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yep. That was a good movie.
It was a great movie.
Yeah, Stakeout. Wow.
I love that movie.
I did, too.
I mean, it basically...
What's it about?
It's...
Cops on a stakeout.
Two cops. Yeah, they're on a stakeout and just... It's,
do you know what a stakeout is?
It's,
yes.
Okay.
It's interesting because it has the the humor... Between the two cops as they're doing the stakeout.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of action as well.
So it's not just them, like, in the car having a monologue.
No, they're
hours.
In a house.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I hate those kinds of movies.
It's a funny movie.
So in 1992, he did Mighty Ducks. And then you mentioned a couple of movies he did after that. But really, from 92 to 96...
He kind of did. He did another stakeout. He did Mighty Ducks 2
and 3.
Well, he was only in three. Yeah, he was briefly in 3.
Well, because
he wanted to get a directing job,
right?
And from Disney,
that's correct.
So he ended up doing a brief role in D3,
right? And that's really where things. And then they kind of backed out on that, or they didn't follow through on that promise very well,
right?
And things really just kind of dropped off a cliff in 96. And so for the last 20 years. You know, he's really only kind of done his own projects, stuff that he's written or directed, and he's cast himself.
Right.
It's nothing notable.
Couple things with his brother and with his dad, too. He was in the West Wing briefly, and he was also in 2.5
Really
well.
Briefly.
Yeah.
What I found out was in the last 11 years, he only has 6 total credits on IMDb, and all of those are projects that he did himself.
And in the 80s? He was one of the hottest actors.
Right. Well, he was the leader of the Rat Pack.
Yeah,
right.
So fast forward to the mid to late 90s, and he just fell off a cliff, essentially.
Yeah.
And
it's basically because of what he wanted.
Right.
You know? He could have kept on doing these things, but decided he didn't really want to. Like, a lot of these reunions for... I saw a video with Molly Ringwald, and she was talking about the reunion for The Breakfast Club. And she said he's the only one who never attends.
Ah, that is sad.
Really?
That is sad.
Yeah. Never attends. Wow.
That's too bad.
All the other
Has he become a recluse kind of guy?
Well, let's just move on and wrap it up by answering the question, where are they now?
Well, he was recently engaged to a girl.
Filipino?
A model. Then they actually bought a house and a vineyard together, and then they recently sold it, and they've broken up since then, and now he's just kind of just living.
He's just being Emilio.
Living the dream.
Somewhere out in the world.
Yeah.
Is it a male model?
Huh?
A male model.
Yes, because apparently he dated Rob Lowe. Is that what he's...
Is that what you were alleging earlier? Basically, he's
Hollywood type.
He does what he wants.
He's
to
just
do.
Doing his own thing.
Yeah.
And he's not into the... That's the reason why he, you know, he didn't take his father's name because he didn't want to ride his coattails. He wanted to do his own thing.
Right.
That's what he's doing now too. So he's kind of
pretty independent guy. So, I mean, that's cool.
Yeah. I read that he recently completed his first project in 5 years. It's a dramatic film called The Public. Did you come across that? Uh-huh. The cast includes Christian Slater and Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's notable. Well, hopefully he's fine, but reading about where Emilio Estevez is today kind of made me sad.
Really?
Made me a little bit sad.
Really?
I wouldn't be sad because he's kind of
doing his own thing.
Yeah, just because he's not in show business anymore.
Okay.
I think if he wanted to continue doing it,
I'm not so sure about that.
I think he could.
Really? I think I agree with Greg on this one.
He was one of the hottest actors back in the day doing
35 years ago.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying now. I'm saying he dropped off of it because he wanted to.
Yeah.
But didn't Martin,
his brother
is still
was making a ton of money on Two and a Half Men not too long ago.
And on his one-man show.
That's right.
And what about...
Actually, they were kind of like selling tickets for $5
right,
or something.
But what about Anger Management, this show that he's been on?
Amelia West of Us?
That's no, Charlie.
Charlie yeah. Sheen. Charlie Sheen. I mean, that's been on for several years now. He's still making money.
Oh, yeah, he is.
All right.
AIDS and all.
Well, yeah. that's where Emilio Estevez is today.
But the most significant question was, Tom asked, does he still have that great head of hair?
Yeah, he's got long hair. Last I've seen him.
Really?
It's a good look.
When he and I hung out last weekend.
Oh, okay. Anyway, that's interesting.
He might have cut it
off. He was a cool guy.
Oh, he was. He looks, Toph and I were looking at him recently, pictures of him. He looks a lot like his father.
He looks very much like his father, Martin.
Yes.
Okay, with that, let's move on to our next subject. I turn to you, Tom.
Okay.
Tell us who your Where Are They Now is.
It's William? Wait,
that was awkwardly worded, wasn't it? Tom, yes. tell us who your person is.
William Zabka.
William Zabka.
How do you spell Zabka?
I liked him much better than your other choices because I know who this guy is.
So William Zabka is an American actor, screenwriter, and director and producer. I'm not sure about those last things.
Oh, yeah, he is. I get to it.
I think
okay,
he's just...
Okay, all right. So he's, of course,
don't
he's best
usurp,
known...
Don't usurp his
I will not.
Work.
I just want to introduce him. He's best known for his role as Johnny Lawrence in 1984's The Karate Kid. But really, he did a handful of roles in the 80s, and he was just kind of known as the jerk,
right.
As the jerk guy.
I define it as the quintessential blonde 80s D-bag boyfriend bully character.
Perfect. Perfect. And let me know when you want me to drop your clip.
You can go ahead.
This is where we'll drop the clip where we blend kind of today and yesteryear.
Deliver one of your requests.
Oh, thank you, Marshall.
Oh, not that one.
An appearance by my all-time idol, The Karate Kid.
The Karate Kid was an uplifting 80s classic about a teen played by Ralph Macchio who defeats the local jerk played by William Zabka. At least that's how most people saw it.
Here he is, just as hot as when his Tiger Beat photo spread gave a young girl the courage to explore the suddenly unfamiliar changing body.
And Ralph Macchio walks around the corner.
Barney, it's Ralph. Listen, it's always flat.
No! I hate Ralph Macchio. I hate him, hate him, hate him. He is not the Karate Kid.
The Karate Kid was William Zabka, star pupil of the Cobra Kai Dojo, whom this monster defeated with a cheap, illegal head kick in the most tragically haunting film ending of all time.
Oh, see, I thought you meant fun crazy.
Shut it, Ralph Macchio. Why don't you go have a party with Luke Skywalker and Harry Potter and War Horse and all the other movie bad guys and stop ruining mine!
This night has been catastrophic.
Catastrophic! Everybody pound.
Sorry, bro. I'm
paying for the crotch!
So tell us what that is, Tom.
So that is one of the more recent things that Ralph Macchio and Billy Zabka, who's later revealed to be the clown at Barney's bachelor party, have been in. And so Barney is...
What's the name of the show?
Oh, I'm sorry. How I Met Your Mother. Let me backtrack.
Okay, so yeah, thank you.
That aired on CBS from some year until 2014 and recently ended. However, William Zabka had a recurring role in the last season as the best man and hero of Barney Stinson.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so as you gather from the clip... Barney Stinson saw the movie The Karate Kid completely different from anyone else, and he considered William Zabka to be the Karate Kid, and Ralph Macchio to be a side character.
Right. And only because...
the evil side character.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, that's
and then it's only because Johnny Lawrence actually knew karate, and he lost to that nerd Ralph Macchio with an illegal crane kick move.
Got it.
All right, well, tell us a little more about Billy Zabka.
So, Billy was born in New York City, and this kind of ties into... Dick
Cavett.
So, his dad, Billy's dad, was the assistant director of The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson.
Wow.
It all comes together.
Also knew.
Oh,
yes. This is the circle of life.
Circle of life. Very good.
And
I like it.
So, his dad was an assistant director of that show, and he may or may not have knew the great Chuck Norris. He would have been a great topic, I think, too.
Chuck Norris.
Yeah, anyways. He had two siblings, and so, like we were discussing, his breakout role was in The Karate Kid. He was in The Karate Kid 2, and he was, you know, the quintessential 80s bad guy. But, you know, when he was famous, he was kind of, you know, he was really young at the time, so he was on those Tiger Beat and magazines and had smaller recurring roles in some other famous movies, such as European Vacation and Back to School.
I loved Back to School.
Right.
But he played the same characters, though.
He was always the same guy.
So he, you know, in the 80s, he had those kinds of roles.
His role, by the way, in European Vacation was great.
As Audrey's boyfriend?
Yes. Yeah.
Fantastic.
He was really good in that.
Which was in 89.
Lines did he have in that? Because I felt like they just made out a lot in the movie.
I think that's what they basically did. That's all they did. Yeah.
Now, I do want to interject this point regarding The Karate Kid, because when he got the role of The Karate Kid, he did not know any martial arts at all.
Ooh.
It's true.
Really?
And
wow.
He didn't. Yeah, he had no previous martial arts experience at the time.
Wow.
But was an accomplished wrestler. And so his participation in the film inspired him to learn martial art, the martial art of Tang Soo Do. And later, it says, this was a funny note in my opinion, it says later earning a second green belt.
Yeah.
And I was like, green belt?
It's like the third. That's like the your third second one. Belt.
Yeah. Yeah. When you said green belt, I was like, wait, that doesn't sound
white,
very...
White, yellow, green. Right? Right.
Yeah. So I looked it up, and here's the order. It goes white, yellow, gold, orange, green, blue, purple, brown, red, and black.
Oh, so he basically made it to third grade.
Yeah, totally half-aided that.
Yeah, so to add a note in Wikipedia, his second green belt. It's like that's a big deal. I thought that was really funny.
I thought that was funny, too.
That is good.
How many belts do you guys have?
I have all of them.
I got a
black belt.
You do?
Yeah.
I do, too. I'm serious. I'll bring it.
Right now I got my brown belt on.
Oh. Yeah. Well, belts are a touchy subject with Greg. He hates all my belts.
Oh.
Yeah. You need to fix those belts. They're terrible, Tom.
Gosh, I'll bring my black belt tomorrow.
Okay.
Anyways.
So anyway, this is interesting.
In the 90s, he stopped. He wasn't acting. And,
well, hang on a second. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Hold that thought. Because although his major film debut was in The Karate Kid, Greg, I think you of all people appreciate this. This is actually where he got his first acting break.
Oh, yes.
Ivan, do you recognize this?
I recognize it, but
believe it or not.
Yeah, I recognize the song.
I recognize the song.
Do you know what song this is from?
I can't believe it myself.
Tom, I do not.
Okay, hang on, Greg. Don't give it away.
Song, but
Greg clearly does.
Let's just enjoy this.
The greatest song ever.
So this is the theme song for The Greatest American Hero, which was on in 1983, which is where Billy Zabka got his acting start. This show starred William Catt as Ralph Hinckley. This theme song, the lyrics are by Stephen Geyer, music by Mike Post, and performed by Joey Scarberry. And this is the opening theme song in sequence to The Greatest American Hero.
Wow.
And it goes on for another 40 seconds, which we're not going to sit through.
Yeah, wow.
That's too bad.
That's where Billy Zabka actually got his acting start.
Wow. How old is he now, Billy Zabka?
Gosh, you really... It's a brain buster.
No, I'm just trying to...
He was in a...
He's
64.
54. He's 54.
You're always giving people 10 years on their age.
Wait a minute, he's 54.
He turned 55 on the 21st of October.
William Zabka's still looking good these days.
Let's see.
You know, even for his age.
Handsome
dude.
Wow.
He's
a good piercing blue eyes.
Yeah. Sorry, Tom, I didn't mean to hijack your show. So you were getting to what he was doing in the 90s. Yeah.
So in the 90s, he was studying to be a filmmaker. The most famous of which, the most famous film that he directed was a short film called Most, which premiered at Sundance in 2013, I think. And he was nominated for an Academy Award for that film.
Really?
He really was?
Wow.
Did not win.
An Academy Award.
Wow. For a short film. Wow.
Yep. And then since then, he's kind of regressed, I would say, into Rascal Flatts music videos, who I dislike. And
he did participate in a video by a band. Did you get to this?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't include it because I couldn't. I wanted to pull audio from it, but
that's too long.
Sweep the Leg.
Yeah. See, that brought back the old memories for me. Is that video? That was,
you know, he directed that video.
Yeah. That was a great
and started it with video. All the old Cobra Kai guys.
Yeah.
And I think you're the one that pointed this out to
who
me.
Who directed it?
Billy Zabka.
Oh, Zabka. Mm-hmm.
So the actor that opened the video with, you remember how the video opens?
Wasn't Ralph Macchio was in it, though?
He was
right?
in it, yeah. but the actor that played Mr. Belding from...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Opens it up as the guy at the pizza shop.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he also directs for Verizon and Little Tykes, so...
Commercials.
So I'm really glad he went to learn how to be a filmmaker
in
the 90s.
Are you more sad for Emilio or for...
Well, I haven't gotten to where he is now.
Oh, sorry. Well, are we ready to move to our final question?
Yeah.
So, Tom... Answer the question for Billy Zabka.
And then
where is he now?
Re-ask. Yeah. So, in August this past summer, it was announced that William Zabka and one Ralph Macchio are reuniting to film a 10-episode, 30-minute series on YouTube called Cobra Kai, in which they will both relive the glory days as Billy Zabka, the Karate Kid. And Ralph Macchio will be... What was his Daniel LaRusso?
Yeah.
The nerdy guy.
Huh.
Not the Karate Kid.
I mean, he wasn't nerdy, but he was like not.
I guess
Billy
he learns karate eventually.
Zabka.
But the story will focus on a down and out.
Although Elizabeth Shue.
Johnny Lawrence.
Played his girlfriend.
She thought he was kind of cool.
Yeah, she was
pretty. Was great.
I'd actually like to do a Where Are They Now on Elizabeth Shue.
Maybe we should.
Okay, we'll do that on the next episode. I just want to talk about Elizabeth Shue because she made my childhood pants go crazy.
When she was in that movie, she was the greatest.
What movie?
But she was
Karate
also,
Kid.
She was also in Cocktail and Adventures in Babysitting.
She was in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, she was terrific.
She got naked, didn't she, in that movie with Nicolas Cage?
He's a weird.
Leaving Las Vegas.
I think she got naked in that.
Was that? Oh, that
I'm
is.
I'm gonna have to go back and watch
maybe
that.
Maybe go check that out.
Yeah.
Because I heard it was a great film.
You see total
for
boobies.
No other,
whoa, buxom.
It was
very buxom.
Here they are. Jane Mansfield.
I think. wasn't she in that movie with him?
I don't. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
she was the female.
Yeah, she got naked.
So to summarize, Billy Zabka is still famous, unlike Emilio, who's sad and desolate and.
Wow, you know, this isn't a competition, by the way.
I don't know if he's still famous.
Well, he's gonna come back in a big way this summer on YouTube.
There's no rumors of Emilio Estevez coming back.
He was never as big as Emilio Estevez.
Not even close.
But his meteoric rise as Johnny Lawrence in 2018.
I'm gonna step in like Dick Cavett.
We'll be unrivaled.
I'm gonna get in the middle of this conflict.
You're gonna kill us both.
Yeah, I'm gonna walk off the stage. No, thanks. Thanks, Tom. Tom. Now we've answered the question, where
I like
Billy Zabka?
I did too.
And you know what I like most about him is that he has a good sense of humor.
No, he does, because that video was
Because
was
the worst
very
is
funny.
When you got a guy that's washed up and he's super bitter about it.
Yeah.
You know, but Billy Zabka's got a great sense of humor about
he plays
He's like in a pair of skates and wasn't he in like roller skates?
Yeah, part of it. He's got this weird radio on his shoulder.
And he's got a Speedo on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No. I mean,
Billy Zabka.
So he can make fun of himself.
Yes.
That's cool.
And he does that a lot.
Yeah,
he does.
That's cool.
All right.
Guys.
Well, our next Where Are They Now subject is mine. Mm. And this is also something that I think all of you will recognize. And he was the co-star in this popular late 70s, early 80s TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know for sure that Greg and I recognize this.
I recognize the song.
Do you, Tom?
Ivan, do you recognize this?
Do you?
Waylon Jennings.
That's right. Yeah. Waylon Jennings.
You know what movie?
Huh?
You know what movie?
Wait for it.
Wait for it, Tom.
Classic 70s country.
I'll never will.
Ivan likes this.
I love. Yeah.
I like the banjo.
Wait for the finish.
You know?
Oh, I didn't realize you were asking me a question.
Do you know what movie, what show this is?
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Don't answer it. Do you know?
I don't know. I know the song.
You okay. Don't know the name of the show? Wait, what?
I want to hear more of that banjo solo.
All right, so.
So you don't know from the Yeehaw?
So nope. Nobody except for Greg goodness. And I know what theme song
Dukes
that is.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Yes, that's right.
Good job, Tom.
So that is from that's the theme song of the TV show Dukes of Hazzard, and my subject is.
By the way, there's back in my day, somebody made my pants go
we'll
crazy.
Get to that.
From
we might
that
get
show.
To that.
I know that was interesting.
She has not aged very well either.
No,
Elizabeth Shue had.
No, no.
We're talking about Daisy Duke.
All right,
Daisy.
We're
Duke.
Running out of time, so let's get
that
through
wasn't
this.
Daisy Duke.
No, she was in the show. Catherine
Bach.
Ooh, she had great legs. Those legs. The
they
best.
Named a piece of clothing after her. That's how amazing
yeah.
her legs
Daisy
and the rest
Dukes.
Of her.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, Daisy Dukes.
Short shorts were called Daisy Dukes after that. Right. So, of course, my subject today is one of the co-stars on that show.
Tom Wopat.
Thomas.
Oh, nice.
Stephen Wopat.
You know? Did you see it on a
no,
sheet?
No, I swear to God. It was a wild guess.
Nice.
We I just like that name, Wopat.
Yeah, he's got a good name.
A good name.
Ivan's a good reader.
No, I don't. Not without my glasses.
He was the underrated Duke.
Yeah, so my subject is Thomas Stephen Wopat, or as we know him as Tom Wopat. He is 66. That's where I was getting it confused.
You were saying everyone was 66 until you
I knew
got
I'd get
to,
it right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Where is the Dodge Charger today?
Well, don't get ahead, please, Ivan.
Yeah.
So Tom Wopat was born September 9th, 1951. He is an American actor and singer. He first achieved fame as Lucas K. Luke, or Luke Duke, on the long-running television action comedy series The Dukes of Hazzard, which aired on CBS from January 26th of 79. To February 8th of 1985.
It ran that long.
What was the years?
79 to 85. Huh, it was actually seven seasons.
One of them just died recently.
I don't know.
From the show. What's his name?
Oh, James Best.
Yeah, he just died, didn't he?
I think last year.
Yeah.
How did he sound?
Flinch. So
what was the dog's name?
Flash.
Yeah, Flash.
Flash! Okay. Get over here, Flash!
No, Flash!
So, I thought both of our impressions were good.
Yeah,
that's
very
a high
nice.
Five, folks.
That's a high five, folks.
Okay, so Tom Wopat was born in Lodi, Wisconsin, believe
yeah,
it or not.
That would make sense.
He was the fifth of eight siblings. Wopat attended the University of Wisconsin-Madison, which is just Wisconsin, and made his television debut on the daytime soap One Life to Live.
I could see him as a soap guy.
Oh, my gosh. Sure. I can't believe he didn't have like a 50-year career as a soap actor.
Yeah, he looks like a soap
guy. He could have been on a soap actor. He could have been on a soap opera for decades. Ever.
You could see him on like a Cialis commercial now, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Exactly. Yeah. So I wasn't able to turn up any details on how he went from soap operas to Dukes of Hazzard. But somehow he got cast as Luke Duke on that TV show.
Oh, do you love it? Luke Duke.
Yeah.
I love that.
And so I want to play this scene because I think this is kind of a good stereotypical scene from the show.
J.D., why don't you tell Roscoe to put that pea shooter away?
Boss Hogg?
You know these boys don't go around setting off bombs.
Oh, that's Boss Hogg.
Well, there's letters, the evidence that say they did.
Yeah.
Or maybe you did it.
If I like a timer.
Tell her I don't care what Duke I put in jail today.
Hey, hold on, y'all. Listen. What? Hear something?
Is that a ticket?
It's another bomb. Hit the deck. Come
on! Now, those Duke boys sure get themselves in trouble.
Roscoe, do you hear anything?
No.
And I don't think we're going to hear anything either, do you?
No.
In other words, them Duke boys all swallowed you again, didn't they?
Well, you might
say
that.
Oh, that's...
Here's James Best.
Yeah.
I hear something ticking.
Ticking! What? Where?
Your watch. The bomb's in your watch.
He put his watch in a glass of water. And then chaos ensues, and the Duke boys have escaped.
Did you see the Duke boys?
Yeah, sure, they just waved to me. What happened?
And then James Best talks to his deputy.
Hot pursuit. It's always hot pursuit.
Always. You get the banjo cranked up.
And then they cut to commercial, and you always hear, now those Duke boys are sure getting themselves into a lot of trouble.
It's coming back to me. General Lee.
Yeah, that's right. General
so I won't play the rest of the clip, but essentially...
Was that Waylon who always spoke at the end?
Yeah, he was the narrator and sang the theme song.
Yeah, he was great.
And so in that scene, they're all in the boar's nest, which is the bar that Daisy worked at, and they're trying to corner the Duke boys over something, and so Bo Duke, Luke's cousin, starts making a clicking noise with his mouth to make him think that there's a bomb somewhere, and then they all drop to the ground... And then that's where they sneak out, and then they're on the run, and the chasing scene.
Now,
sees.
Hey, okay, genius. We were talking about this earlier. Those guys are lovable doofuses.
There you go.
The Duke boys?
No.
We've come life circle here.
Oh, like James Best.
Yes, lovable,
the cops,
lovable
for sure.
doofuses.
Those guys are lovable doofuses.
Perfect example. Yeah. There you go. Huh? Yeah. Huh? Yes.
So here's the history of the show. It grew in popularity pretty quick, and by the third season, it was a huge hit, and it made it to number 2 in the Nielsen ratings.
What was number 1?
I don't remember. I didn't look at it. Okay. I didn't look up the list.
My guess is probably like All in the Family or something.
But in its third season, it was number 2 in the Nielsen ratings.
Wow.
With almost 22 million viewers.
Are these the same 22 million that voted for Trump?
Yes.
I'm just saying.
This was 35 years ago, so perhaps not.
Oh.
But anyway, kids loved it.
Why not?
So this... Yeah, you and I are the same age. This show is huge amongst kids.
Wow.
Super. So there was tons of merchandise sold, toys, clothes, all kinds of other stuff. There was a guy in my neighborhood who had 2 1969 Chargers painted exactly like the General Lee.
Wow.
He had 2 of them.
The flag on top that was on the roof.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, John Schneider... The guy that played Luke's cousin,
he was always the most famous.
He
was blonde.
Bo Duke.
Yes, exactly right.
That's right. And so but Luke was.
I always liked Luke better.
Me too. I liked Luke better.
I did too.
I think Luke got more ladies.
Ooh.
And I've got 2 personal anecdotes. One is I went over to John Schneider's house, who lived in San Antonio at the time, probably 15 years ago.
Really?
And I would have met him, but he wasn't actually home at the time. But I did knock on the door.
So you did cabineted him.
Yes, I was trying to Dick Cavett John Schneider.
Ooh.
And supposedly he was home, and we were going to...
How did you know where he lived?
Because he was involved with a supporter of Young Life down in the San Antonio area at the time.
Okay.
And I had a buddy of mine who was in Young Life on staff and knew John Schneider, or had met him a couple of times, and was like, hey, I know where John Schneider...
Cool.
So I pull into town, and I'd only been there a day or so, and he's like, hey, do you want to meet John Schneider? I was like... Well, of course.
Yeah, are you kidding me?
So moments later, we're in the car, and we're driving over to John Schneider's house, and we... Knocked
were you
door.
In hot pursuit?
We were in hot pursuit. I have a second personal anecdote. This one I think you'll enjoy. So my parents were on vacation, I think maybe to Hawaii or something. So I had to stay with the neighbors. And this was probably in the second or third season. So I was, 8 years old or something. I think I was 9. And so it was Friday night. And every Friday night, you sat down in front of the television. You didn't want to miss a single episode. So I'd waited all week.
There were no DVRs.
No, you could
no
not.
No recording devices.
I mean, there were early VCRs, but not very many people
had
them.
You
had
to be rich.
So this is... There was appointment television.
Tom, do you know what a VCR is?
I do.
Okay.
I actually own a cassette tape for my favorite movie.
Really? Yeah,
what's your favorite movie?
Surf Ninjas.
Must I?
Surf Ninjas.
Anyone? Ernie Reyes Jr.? Oh. Anyways, go ahead, Chris.
So I remember sitting on the living room floor at my neighbor's house in front of the TV, and the show had just come on. I'd watched the title sequence. I was getting excited. When the woman I was...
You were getting excited because Daisy came on the screen?
No, because I was going to get to watch my favorite TV show.
Okay.
And the woman of the house comes into the room and announces that we're leaving.
Ooh.
Like,
ooh.
And she also had made me kind of dress up. Like I'd put on a sweater and some nice pants for her. I was like... This is not going well.
Jerk.
And so that was bad news enough that we were leaving and I was about to miss the show. So I've got my nice clothes on and we get in the car and we drive 20 miles down the road to Texas Stadium in Irving, which is no longer there. And we go into the crowded stadium and we find our seat. That takes a little bit of time. And then I realize that the reason we're there is for this.
Praise God. If you would tonight, let's receive our evening offering. Open
Does
your
anybody
Bibles
recognize this
once
voice?
Again to Mark's
Jesus.
Gospel chapter
it's not
4,
Jesus.
Where we were last night in talking about this.
Ivan, do you know who this is?
Jimmy Swagger.
Close.
He that hath
ears, Patrick Swayze.
I know who it is.
Who?
Let is it the guy hear. Who got busted?
He and his wife.
Jimmy Swagger.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, that's a great name.
No, the guy from Dallas.
Anybody.
What's the guy's name?
That will.
Okay. Who is it?
Well, in any case,
Oral Roberts.
You may not recognize this guy's name, but needless to say, 9-year-old Tove was not thrilled to find himself at a Kenneth Copeland convention.
Kenneth Copeland?
Who at the time was a very famous televangelist who was traveling through town.
I mean,
my neighbors were very religious, and they packed us up, and instead of getting to watch my favorite TV show, I had to go to that.
Oh, my God. And that didn't turn you against religion in spite of that.
Right.
I'm very impressed. And
thank you.
Still,
I subscribe.
Right. I'll give it to you. That would have changed probably.
Right. I should have turned on it forever, but I didn't.
You know what? Good for you.
Thank
good
you.
For you.
Thank good you. For I overcame. I forgave.
You did forgive. Mm-hmm. That's what. Wow.
Did you learn that from Kenneth?
No. Yes. I learned nothing from Kenneth. All right, just a couple more things. After 7 seasons and 146 episodes...
I didn't realize it ran that long.
Right.
Wow.
Dukes of Hazzard came to an end, and after that, this won't surprise you, but Tom Mopat's acting gigs were very spotty. So he also got into country music, where he also experienced very mild success at best, because do any of you know Tom Mopat as a famous country artist?
No.
So that's what he tried to do. So now we have to ask the question
to Ivan. Where is he now? I would guess that he is with Zapka. Okay, well,
really, it's not a bad guess.
Reunion. That's a good guess. So, Ivan, if you would do us a favor, because in order to answer this question.
Because I asked you.
Yes. Please do us a favor and read this headline.
I hope he's with Billy Zapka. That'd be awesome.
Tom Wopat charged with sticking finger in woman's butt crack. What?
All right, allow me to elaborate, please.
I don't think Billy's doing that.
We don't know that.
We can't say for sure.
Really?
It's not a karate
Was
move.
This woman a plumber? No.
I don't know if that would matter.
Don't think so. Don't think so.
So allow me to tell the story, please. Allow me to tell the story. On August 2nd, 2017, you paying attention, Greg?
Yes. So I know the story. Sent it to him.
That's correct.
Really? Yeah. How did you find it? I heard about it somewhere, and then when he was doing the story on him, I go, I got to send this to you. So what date?
Greg keeps tabs on butt cracks.
Yeah. So what? What?
He plugs a lot of blogs and follows a lot of Twitter. Yeah.
What date? It's all, I do a Google, like, you know, you can search for news.
Uh-huh.
It's just titled butt crack.
Hashtag.
I like it. Yeah. I like it.
So anything How's with business? Butt crack comes up. Yeah.
Okay.
On August 2nd, 2017.
Wow.
66-year-old Tom Wopat was arrested on felony indecent assault and battery and misdemeanor drug charges in Waltham, Massachusetts, where he was about to open a production of 42nd Street at the Regal Music Theater.
you went from one thing to... Wait a minute.
Wow. That's the positive part of it.
Yeah, right. It was really negative until
summer's, that. Summer stock. It's called
he was
summer
doing summer stock,
stock
when yeah, he got into a little theater. Trouble, and it just gets worse. So Wopat allegedly...
So how many dings in this story?
Yeah, so...
allegedly.
So feel free to identify the red flags in the story.
Okay, so allegedly...
So Wopat allegedly assaulted the woman during a rehearsal. Ding. He came up behind her and grabbed her buttocks... And continued touching her in that area. Huh. Or as the TMZ story says, she felt his fingers go between her butt cheeks. The show's producer and manager had previously spoken to Wopat regarding complaints from other female cast members about inappropriate comments and touching. The actor was also reprimanded for being intoxicated at rehearsal. So he was showing up to rehearsals drunk and then fondling the female actors. And now it gets worse.
It gets worse.
It actually gets worse. If that's not enough, he goes one step further. During his arrest, a search of him and his vehicle under warrant revealed 2 bags of white powder believing to be cocaine. So he's showing up drunk and high on cocaine and fondling female co-stars. This might be my favorite part. Wopat told police that he buys cocaine in large quantities and uses it over time.
Well, that's okay.
This whole story is just ding after ding after
ding. Yes,
it
is. And here's how it wraps up. Wopat pleaded not guilty. I'm not sure how.
Not guilty?
At his arraignment on August 3rd, 2017. And was released on bail. And now we know the answer to the question.
Where is Tom Wopat?
Yeah.
Thanks, Ivan.
Yeah, thanks, Ivan, for bringing that to light. We appreciate that.
Oh, my God.
That was an appropriate response.
He was the king back in the day. He could pretty much get most any lady he wanted.
Put his finger in whoever's butt crack he wanted and done all the blow.
He's 30 years late on doing those things.
Because the girls would have enjoyed it back then.
So if we have another session of Where Are They Now? Should there be some criteria about some redeeming value in some of these people or no?
It's a crapshoot. You don't know where it's going to go.
You don't know where it's going to go until the research.
That's correct.
I think that this was a very enlightening thing, and I think we should do this once a quarter.
Okay.
You really enjoyed this.
No, I do, because I found everybody interesting, and I didn't know a lot of stuff about.
There you go.
So I thought it was interesting.
Hopefully the audience feels the same way.
If not once a quarter, at least another one at some point.
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the end of our show, gentlemen. This has been our first installment of Where Are They Now? Thanks for being here.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
You're so very welcome. For Greg and Tom and Ivan, this is the Gravity Beard Podcast. We'll see you next
time. And the Toph.
Me.
That's right.
We'll see you next
time,
folks.
Don't forget about you. See you next time, everybody.
Thanks for being here.
Hey, well, that was a long one.
That was a long one. I've got a lot of editing to do. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Hey, thank you.
Thank all of you. You're all the best. You're all tied for the best. You can listen to the Gravity Beard Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or anywhere else you can see a podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TheGravityBeard, email us at contacttheBeard@gmail.com, or interact with us and other indie pods in the Underdog Podcast community on Facebook. We definitely want to hear from you. If you got at least $1 worth of entertainment from today's episode, please consider supporting us via Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/gravitybeard for more details. Gravity Beard is a proud member of the Podfix Network. Go to podfixnetwork.com to see a complete list of network shows. You may also consider subscribing to Podfix Presents. It's a podcast by all the Podfix hosts where you can hear exclusive original content that you'll not hear on their individual shows. Our theme song is Sophomore Makeout by Silent Partner. In the intro, we used another song by Silent Partner called Get Back. Both songs can be found on the YouTube audio library. And now we're treating you to Quitting Time by Patrick Lee, CC by NCSA 3.0. You can search for him by name at freemusicarchive.org. Tune in later this week for episode 2 of Blunder Dogs, the official indie podcast blooper show. Then, this time next week, we'll be back with another installment of This Week Today with my good friend and co-host, Lord Saunders. This is the Gravity Beard Podcast. It's what your ears will want to be listening to.
This has been terrific. I've learned a lot.
Apocalypse Now.
Francis Ford Coppola.
That's right.
I can't wait to hear Ivan say it.
Yeah.
Apocalypse Now. Apocalypse Now.
Nailed it.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Podfix Network. Discover more audible gems like this at podfixnetwork.com. Make sure to catch up-to-the-minute network shenanigans by following @Podfix on Twitter, @official_Podfix on Instagram, @Podfix Network on Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to Podfix Presents wherever you choose to find podcasts. The Podfix Network, artist owned and loved.